Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
And in fact, we have an immediate plus in that obinutuzumab had a successful phase 3 trial. That wasn't quite as successful as the phase 2, but it was definitely successful.
Today, Drs. Petri and Fava join the podcast to discuss emerging therapies in SLE, recent studies, and potential game-changing treatments in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Andrea Fava, Director of Lupus Translational Research and Assistant Professor at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore.
And I'm Dr. Michelle Petri. I'm a professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and it seems like forever, but just 36 years, the director of the Hopkins Lupus Center.
Thank you for joining me today, Michelle.
Well, thank you, Andrea. It's wonderful to be here with you.
So I wanted to discuss with you a few of the new treatments that have been under development and have been developed for lupus nephritis. This has been quite an exciting time.
And in fact, we have an immediate plus in that obinutuzumab had a successful phase 3 trial. That wasn't quite as successful as the phase 2, but it was definitely successful. And we're hoping that that will lead to FDA approval in October. What's special about obinutuzumab is that it was glycoengineered to be a better B-cell depleter than rituximab.
So it sounds like B-cells are truly playing a major role in lupus, and definitely targeting them seems to have an important therapeutic effect. Can you tell us more about other treatments that are coming in to target B-cells?
Well, of course, we have the old standby. We have belimumab, which, of course, is a BAFF inhibitor. But ianalumab is a dual BAFF and APRIL inhibitor. In fact, think of it as an anti-BAFF receptor. It leads to more B-cell depletion than belimumab. There was a successful phase 2 but non-renal trial, but it's now in phase 3 trials for both non-renal and renal lupus. So more to come.
That's very exciting, and it seems like we're going to see a lot more coming for lupus nephritis. Now, can you tell us more about what is available for skin lupus and what's coming?
Now, our patients don't die from cutaneous lupus, but in particular, chronic cutaneous lupus has been one of our major unmet needs. In fact, I'll never forget when I first came to Hopkins, one of my first requests was that mirrors be put in my exam room, and the administration said no. But then I said to them that my patients had to have a mirror so they could put their wig back on after I had examined them. So please, let's never forget that chronic cutaneous lupus is particularly disfiguring in young women particularly. So we have a game changer. Anifrolumab, which is the anti-interferon receptor, leads to quick control of cutaneous lupus with a very high rate of remission after 12 months that continues to increase in long-term follow-up. And Andrea, you've done some work on urine biomarkers for anifrolumab.
Yeah, actually, to add to that, we found that anifrolumab may have an effect on kidney as well. So it really sounds like interferon is critical for cutaneous lupus, for systemic lupus, but especially for skin lupus, it seems to really be a game changer. And so targeting that pathway seems to lead to tremendous results. Now, are there other treatments that are targeting the interferon pathway, perhaps with a different angle?
So yes, there's several that have gone through successful phase 2 development and are now in phase 3. One is the TYK2 inhibitor, deucravacitinib, already approved for psoriasis, but successful in lupus and including skin. And then an anti-plasmacytoid dendritic cell antibody, litifilimab, that had successful phase 2 trials for both SLE, but also for chronic cutaneous lupus alone. But then there's some other mechanisms of action that have shown benefit for skin. Dapirolizumab is an anti-CD40 ligand that showed reduction in CLASI, which is the outcome measure we use to measure skin activity. And very recently, at both the lupus meeting and at the EULAR meeting, the enpatoran Class A and Class B trials were reported. It is a TLR7/8 inhibitor, so of course it'll end up affecting interferon, and was successful in phase 2.
So it sounds like we're getting a lot more treatment that can be very effective. And in fact, for many years, we've been focusing on identifying treatments that can put our patient in remission, because that was the goal. That's what we believed was the best goal that we could. But now, if we think about it, our patients always ask us for a cure, not perhaps a treatment that they have to be on for a long time to keep lupus under remission. And in the last few years, we've been taken by this big revolution, which is showing that patients with lupus can actually be cured when treated with certain cellular therapies that we call CAR T. Can you tell us more about that?
I think of CAR T as driving B cell depletion as far as possible, including now proof that the B cells are gone from lymphoid tissue and the bone marrow. This leads to a miraculous immune reset. So when the immune system recrudesces, it does so in a naive way without the lupus memory. Now, this was first tested in 8 lupus patients, all of whom had lupus nephritis, in Erlangen, Germany. And all of them went into a remission, although one of the patients did have a little blip with a lupus podocytopathy. Now, more recent studies have not shown 100% remission. And one of the problems is what to do with a patient who still has proteinuria at the end of 12 months after CAR-T. Is that proteinuria showing us that there's still some active lupus that was missed? Or is it showing us that the proteinuria is due to chronicity? One company at the EULAR meeting actually reported on doing an end-of-treatment biopsy in one of those patients with recalcitrant proteinuria and showed that, in fact, they were in a histologic remission. So it's going to be hard to understand these new CAR-T trials without end-of-treatment biopsies.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for this exciting summary. This is really telling us that we are in a major shift toward hopefully precision, durability, and hopefully also accessibility to treatment for lupus patients. So we're moving from cellular therapy to next-generation oral small molecules. So the future of SLE care is becoming more personalized and potent, and the goal remains the same: safer and more effective disease control.
Yes, I think it's so important that we can now actually talk about remission, both with biologics and with cellular therapy. For years, when a patient said to me, "When are you going to put me in remission?" I had to change the subject and tell them that my goal was just to get their lupus under good control. So this is a wonderful new era. Thank you, Andrea.
And thanks to our audience for watching.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PeerDirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my Flash Briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Petrie and Fava. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.